Okay, so let's talk about something really deeply personal today. It touches so many lives. A journey that can be, well, incredibly challenging, but also, full of hope. The path to becoming a parent.
Yeah, absolutely. And facing fertility challenges, it's more common than people might think. And it's a really complex road, often impacts both partners in a couple, you know?
It really does. And when you're navigating that kind of complexity, looking for answers for a path forward, well, you need more than just separate bits of medical advice, right?
Exactly. You need a truly comprehensive view of the situation for both people involved.
That's it. And that comprehensive idea, that's what really jumped out at me from the source material we're diving into today.
Yeah.
We're looking at info about a center that's multidisciplinary, focusing specifically on both male and female fertility.
And what's highlighted here is that the center is led by an expert who has this, well, pretty unique dual specialization. The source really emphasizes how valuable that is in this field.
Okay, so our mission here then is to really unpack the insights from this source material. We want to explore the advanced medical techniques they discuss, understand why that combined approach for couples is apparently so crucial, and also look at the human side, that essential emotional element of what's often a very difficult journey.
Yeah, the source describes this center as providing a sort of integrated response, covering the whole spectrum from female fertility, IVF and such, right through to male fertility, which is andrology.
And the person leading it is Dr. Shlomi Barak. The source calls him an internationally recognized expert with, what, over 20 years in the field?
That's right.
But like you said, there's something specific about his background that the source points to.
Right. It's his dual super specialization. He's an expert in both gynecology and IVF, and in andrology. That's the study and treatment of male fertility issues. The material makes it pretty clear this combination isn't the norm, and it really shapes their whole approach.
And why is that so important? Having expertise across both sides, under one roof.
Well, the source brings up a critical point. While female fertility treatments, things like IVF, egg freezing, they've advanced massively and everyone talks about them, male fertility factors often get less attention. They're less in the spotlight.
But the data shows, doesn't it, that when couples struggle to conceive, a male factor is involved in, what, roughly half the cases?
Exactly, around half. So you can see if you're only looking at one side,
You could easily miss a huge piece of the puzzle.
precisely. So the source argues really strongly that evaluating and treating both partners together in an integrated way gives you a much more complete clinical picture.
And it sounds like this comprehensive view, dealing with both partners simultaneously, isn't just like an option they offer. It's core to how they operate.
Yes, it's presented as a core belief,
Yeah.
and the suggestion is that it's particularly effective when couples have hit roadblocks before, like recurrent IVF failures.
Right, those really tough cases.
Yeah, that integrated approach is seen as key to potentially boosting success rates in those more complex situations.
Okay, let's shift gears a bit. Let's get into some of the specific challenges and the advanced solutions the source material says this center tackles. It seems like quite a range for both men and women.
It is. The list includes things like azoospermia in men, that's the absence of sperm,
Right.
low ovarian reserve in women, recurrent implantation failure, standard IVF and ICSI, of course, and also fertility preservation, like egg freezing.
Let's pause on azoospermia for a second. The source seems to put a fair bit of emphasis on it. In this procedure, microtease. Can you just break down azoospermia simply for us?
Sure. So at its most basic, azoospermia means there's no sperm found in a man's ejaculate. Now, this could be because of a blockage somewhere that's obstructive,
Okay.
or it could be because the testes themselves aren't producing enough sperm or any sperm that makes it out that's non-obstructive.
And microtease is a key procedure they use, particularly for that non-obstructive type.
That's right. The source describes it as a really precise microsurgical procedure. The goal, especially when sperm production is very, very low or seems absent from the ejaculate, is to carefully search within the testicular tissue itself.
Ah, inside the testes.
Yeah, to find those rare sperm cells that might still be there, just not making it out.
And the source mentioned some unique things about how this center approaches microtees.
Yes, a couple of things stood out. They apparently use unique ultrasound methods, which Dr. Barak actually developed. These can often help with diagnosis early on, maybe even at the first meeting.
Wow.
And they also mentioned using their own extensive database from past surgeries, so using their own real-world results to help predict the chances of finding sperm in a new case.
That's interesting, using their own history like that. Now, there was something the source really highlighted as crucial about micro-Ts, the benefit of synchronizing it with the female partner getting her eggs retrieved. Why is that timing so important?
Right, this is a really key detail from the material. It turns out that sperm found in these non-obstructive azoospermia cases, they're often extremely sensitive, very delicate.
Okay.
So freezing them and then thawing them later, that process can actually significantly damage them. It can compromise their quality, their ability to fertilize an egg.
Ah, I see. So finding the sperm with micro-Ts and then using it immediately with fresh eggs collected at basically the same time.
Exactly. It dramatically improves the odds of successful fertilization compared to trying with frozen thawed sperm from these specific cases.
Wow.
That synchronization maximizes the potential of those, you know, hard-won, delicate sperm cells.
So it's not just about having the fancy surgery. It's the incredibly precise timing and coordination that makes a huge difference.
Yes, absolutely. And the source talks about this as part of how they create these personalized treatment plans, especially for complex scenarios like this, or say for women with low ovarian reserve.
They use a term, event management. What does that actually involve day to day?
So the source explains it as managing the whole flow, the whole sequence. It could include hormonal prep for both partners, coordinating the egg retrieval exactly with the micro-T surgery.
Right, that synchronization we talked about.
Yes, and then planning the search window. That's the specific block of time the lab dedicates to meticulously looking for sperm in the sample. Plus, giving tailored instructions to the lab, optimizing conditions for embryo transfer later on. It's the whole package.
It sounds incredibly detailed, like choreographing a very complex dance.
It kind of is.
The source also briefly touches on decisions about embryo transfer itself, like whether to transfer on day 2 or 3. Versus waiting till day 5, the blastocyst stage.
Yeah, and they note that this isn't a simple always do X decision. It's complex. It depends heavily on the specific couple, the quality of the sperm and eggs they actually got, how many embryos are developing.
So it takes real expertise to make that call.
Definitely requires experience, clinical judgment, yeah.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of the medical side, the techniques, the process. But the source also makes a really big point about emphasizing something, well, beyond the clinic. The human element.
It really does.
It acknowledges that fertility treatment is just hard on so many levels.
Mm-hmm. The material points out the physical stuff, obviously, but also the huge emotional toll, the impact on the relationship, sometimes social pressures, the financial strain.
Yeah.
It really underscores that this isn't just some medical procedure you go through. It's a profound personal journey for individuals and couples.
And the center's philosophy, as the source describes, it seems to be that alongside top-notch medical care.
You absolutely need humanity, compassion, a broad perspective guiding everything. The source actually quotes Dr. Barak saying it's essential to understand that this is an especially challenging journey emotionally. So they're very aware.
And that commitment, that awareness of the emotional reality, it's even reflected in their motto, apparently. The source explains it's until the belly bears fruit. And it comes from a really old poem.
Yeah, a 10th century poem by Rabbi Sadia Gaon. And what's fascinating is how this ancient poem captures that deep, deep pain of childlessness. He uses really powerful images describing it as a defect or like barren land, you know, land that just can't produce.
Wow, that's intense imagery.
It is. Yeah. And the poem talks about the intense longing, the efforts people make, making vows, crying tears, all just hoping to conceive.
And the source connects that ancient feeling directly to what this center does today.
Exactly. It uses the poem to illustrate their understanding that this desire for a child is fundamental, it's ancient, it's a core human yearning, and that the journey itself is just loaded with intense emotion. It kind of underpins their whole commitment to using every tool they have for both partners and try and help patients achieve that deeply held hope.
It really brings it home, doesn't it? That this isn't just about the latest science or success rates. It's about addressing this incredibly ancient, fundamental human desire, a struggle someone wrote about 1,000 years ago.
So if we're trying to sort of summarize the big picture here. What's this source material really telling us? I think it makes a really strong case for the unique value of that comprehensive dual expert approach when you're navigating fertility issues.
Yeah, definitely. And it shows the potential of these advanced techniques like the synchronized micro-Ts, even in really complex cases where maybe hope was fading.
And maybe most importantly, it really underscores that while the medical tech is vital, you absolutely cannot forget the human side. Recognizing and supporting the huge emotional weight people carry on this journey is just as critical.
So Maybe here's a final thought to leave you with. How does it shift your perspective, thinking about this cutting-edge medical science and super-personalized care, but framing it within the context of a 1,000-year-old poem about the exact same struggle, the same hope? It's a powerful reminder, isn't it, of the timeless human determination involved in trying to bring new life into the world.